the Antoinette system and tune in to the Pearl White system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 25th of June 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I've got a particularly grotty subject to be discussing today, and that's just unfortunately the way that it goes. You look through the news and you pick out the most important news articles that you think need to be discussed, and sometimes they are particularly gross. Active homosexual men in the United Kingdom are deliberately breaking a regulation that bans them from giving blood if they've had sexual contact with men in the past 3 months. While the rule is designed to keep the blood bank safe from bloodborne diseases, the active homosexuals are donating blood anyway, calling the measure discrimination and homophobic. You know, the reason why they have this regulation to prevent them from giving blood is because of the diseases that they're likely to have. They are far more likely to have diseases that can be passed on through blood because of their sexual activities. And this is a fact. Yet they are doing this because they think it somehow discriminates against them. Regardless of the damage that this can cause to people, according to the regulations set for England, Wales and Scotland, men cannot donate blood if they have had sexual contact with men in the past 3 months. This is to prevent the possible transmission of HIV, a blood-borne disease. Investigative journalist Ben Hunt reported for a show recently that he had interviewed 6 homosexually active men across England who had all donated blood. I mean, these people just don't care about the people that are supposed to be receiving this blood. All they are thinking about is themselves and trying to force homosexualism into everything, even the donating of blood. I mean, think about the victims here. The people that hemophiliacs or whatever people that need to have blood, and instead of doing this act of giving blood because they want to give life to somebody, they're just doing this act because they want to be the same as everybody else, and they perceive it as some kind of discrimination against them. It's like somebody with AIDS going in there and giving blood because they feel that they're being discriminated against for doing this. I mean, the gays are just totally divorced from reality. It's like they have a delusion that their activities aren't actually deviant and harm-causing, which they are. And you can't argue against it that they're not harm-causing. I mean, we'll see later on the incidence of anal cancer and all the other sexually transmitted diseases that are rife within them, and yet they think that this is just normal, and it's just bad luck that they've somehow caught these diseases from having hundreds and hundreds of different sex partners and having deviant sex and putting their generative organs in places where they shouldn't be. One young man interviewed pseudonymously for the program said he was galled when he heard public advertisements for people to give blood, when there's a huge section of society that is denied that for no good reason. How can he say that it's no good reason to prevent vulnerable people from catching AIDS? David, and that's the name he called himself, takes a pill called PrEP every day, which he believes will keep him safe from HIV, and uses condoms, which lowers his risk of catching other infections, Hunt reported. The blood donor also thinks his homosexual activities are safer than those of any heterosexual he knows, and he has given blood several times over the past year. See, this is this delusion that they have. The statistics tell us that the homosexual activities are incredibly risky and that they catch lots and lots of different diseases from this, and yet he's just ignoring all of that evidence because he thinks that somehow he's not going to catch this disease. And when you think about it, E. Michael Jones has pointed out that AIDS doesn't come from a virus, it comes from the lifestyle that these homosexuals have, taking drugs all the time, having deviant sex all the time. Their body gets worn down, their immune system gets worn down. This is why they can't actually find a cure for it, because they can't actually find exactly what it is. So this idea that PrEP is going to prevent it, prevent people from catching it, it can't be actually working like a vaccine or a cure. It must be something that just boosts the immune system. He says, I don't see why I should be denied the right to help fellow people. He's not helping fellow people, is he? He's putting them at risk. He's putting them at risk of catching whatever diseases these homosexuals have got in their veins. He indicated that he thought the current rule was based in deep homophobia. You see, this is like these blacks that claim that everything is racism. With homosexuals, everything must be homophobia. Anything that they don't like, It must be homophobia that's cause of it, not doctors and science and reality. Another young man who engages in homosexual practices called Ryan on the show admitted to donating blood illegally for 10 years. I mean, these people should be taken to court for attempted murder. He says, it's not nice to be discriminated against, he said. And you know that you are doing something that you shouldn't be doing, but at the same time, morally, you are helping somebody. How can they think they are helping somebody by putting them at risk like this? Other homosexuals told Hunt that they broke the rules around giving blood to fight the system. And that's the reality of it. They will lie to themselves and claim that they're doing this to help people, but they're not. They're just doing it because they are angry at the system, because they feel that the system validate their lifestyles. They feel guilt about doing this. They feel guilt because they know that homosexuality is wrong. They know that what they are doing is wrong. They feel that they can't stop doing it. So in order to assuage the guilt, they do all they can to get other people to accept it, because it means that the guilt is a little bit less, because everybody else is saying that it's okay too. So everybody else is sharing in that guilt, effectively. The NHS Blood and Transplant Service depends entirely on voluntary donations, Hunt reported. The NHS checks all donations for infections, but says the three-month rule exists because their tests would not be able to detect all infections in the first 3 months after a donor had contracted it. So if they've just caught syphilis or AIDS or hepatitis or any of these other diseases, it's not likely to actually show up on the test. And this is known. This is basic medical science. And these homosexuals are willingly ignoring that and claiming that it's just homophobia. Meanwhile, not only homosexuals, but prostitutes and people who engage in group sex are also not supposed to give blood during the three-month window after their last sexual encounter. Now, I wonder what about people that take drugs, people that are addicted to drugs. Is their blood going into the blood supply as well? Have they got a ban on them contributing blood? I should imagine they do have. They're likely to have hepatitis and other blood-borne diseases from their risky injection practices. You don't see them claiming that this is discrimination against them. This is just basic precautions. Sue Brailsford of the NHS Blood and Transplant Department told the journalist that the guidelines are there for a reason. The main reason is that it's vulnerable patients receiving this blood, she said. I would really encourage people to follow the guidelines. even if they don't agree with them. You see, this is the thing. These people that are going to be given this blood, they're not going to have the ability to fight infections that other people have. They're vulnerable people. They're going to be extremely weak. And it really wouldn't take much of a virus in this blood that's just been introduced to them to give them the disease. And we have had this happen. We've had haemophiliacs that have been given AIDS, haemophiliacs that have been given all sorts of diseases from blood that was unscreened about 20 years ago, I think it was. So it's not like we don't have an incident of this happening, a terrible, terrible crime that took place that they're still trying to get some kind of compensation for, all these people that were infected with these diseases. And what were the people with those diseases doing donating blood in the first place? Well, it was probably homosexuals that felt that they were being discriminated against by being told that we don't want your blood if you're homosexual. I mean, it used to be a year that they had to wait, and then they changed that to 3 months. Again, because of pressure, because it was seen as discriminatory. Yet if these people really had the concern of the patients, and that was what was most important to them, they would be doing everything that the doctors told them. They would be agreeing with these guidelines and saying, well, just a small risk is too much of a risk to take. I mean, there's plenty of people that are donating blood. It's funny that the Negroes don't say that they're being discriminated against and go out and donate more blood, isn't it? They keep having all these advertisements asking Negroes to donate blood because they won't do it. And you can't give, well, some of them you can, but a lot of blood groups are race dependent. You can actually tell what race somebody is from looking at the blood group. So they don't really have enough blood for Negroes, the same as they don't have enough organs for Negroes, because Negroes won't actually contribute. I mean, it always seems so ridiculous to me when some mixed race person has died and their parents say, well, she was so kind and she's donated her organs to the organ supply. You just think, well, all those organs are any use for is for being dissected by medical scientists. They're not going to be any good for transplanting into somebody because they're mixed race and there's nobody else that exists that looks like them that will actually be able to accept those organs. I mean, this is particularly important as far as bone marrow is concerned. If people need a bone marrow transplant, they've got to be very, very close to them, not just the same race, but in a lot of cases part of the same family. If your family is mixed race, of course, then that's out of the window. And if you are mixed race and you need bone marrow transplant, there's no way that you can get one. Getting back to these homosexuals, Brailsford underscore that MSM, this is their new term for it, men having sex with men, are still disproportionately affected by HIV, and that the department is concerned about other bloodborne viruses too. Of course, that's not politically correct, is it, to say that it is actually homosexuals that are mainly affected by HIV. And the fact that they call it now MSM, men having sex with men, that's so they can highlight what the cause of this is. According to the NHS, about 101,000 people in the UK were living with HIV in 2015, and about 13,500 of them don't actually know they have it and are at risk of passing on the virus, the National Health Service warns. So that's almost 15% of the people that they know will have HIV/AIDS in Britain. At least 15%, around 15% of them don't even know that they have it. And considering it's about 90%, I think, of all the AIDS cases, HIV cases, are homosexual. So that is saying that 1 in 10 of the people with AIDS don't even know that they've got it, and that's homosexuals. So it's quite feasible that it could be one of them that was just one of these people that were actually interviewed that are doing this. The NHS stipulated that gay men are one of the highest risk groups. So what you've got is you've got the highest risk group for passing on infections through blood, deliberately flouting the regulations and putting their blood, which has a high risk of being infected, into the blood supply, which could then be passed on to vulnerable patients and give them fatal diseases or kill them. That's how arrogant these people are. That's how narcissistic they are. All they think about is themselves whilst telling everyone about how this grand gesture they're doing of giving blood to help poor people, these poor victims. They don't give a damn about these poor victims, these poor vulnerable people, these patients. There has also been a rise in the number of cases of syphilis reported in the UK, primarily affecting men who have sex with men. Researchers blame the rise on Grindr and risk-taking after using such club drugs as crystal meth. Well, the fact that they are bringing up syphilis in this report as well, it probably means that syphilis is one of these blood-borne viruses that can also be transferred into the blood supply. And forget they said that the department is concerned about other blood-borne viruses too. In 2014, gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men accounted for 83% of primary and secondary syphilis cases where the sex of the sex partner was known in the United States. So they're not only 90% of the AIDS cases are homosexual, but 83% of the syphilis cases are as well, which it looks like can also be passed on through the blood. It's a blood-borne virus. Now, I've got another report here because I thought, well, let's have a look at these sexually transmitted diseases that these homosexuals have. The official government report on this explains that it uses the acronym MSM, men who have sex with men, because that phrase indicates the behaviours that transmit infection. So it is the homosexual's lifestyle that causes these infections. It's time for policymakers and pundits to acknowledge and deal with the elephant in the room. Engaging in homosexual behaviour can be very dangerous to one's health, Peter LaBarbera, founder of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, told LifeSite News. The CDC says fully half of men who have sex with men who have syphilis are also infected with HIV. If not treated, syphilis causes visual impairment and stroke and increases the chance of catching or transmitting HIV. I mean, they're just full of disease, these people. If such overwhelming evidence pointed to any aberrant behaviour other than homosexuality as so extremely high risk, there would be a full-scale government corporate mobilisation urging people not to practice that behaviour, or even levelling sanctions against it, LaBarbera pointed out. Yet homosexualism is celebrated and promoted even to young children. I think we can draw a comparison here with smoking. We know that smoking causes lung cancer. There are all these adverts to prevent people from smoking, pointing out that it's a high risk of causing these diseases. So why don't we have adverts like that pointing out the risks of sodomy and homosexual sex and the homosexual lifestyle? It's not like these people have to do what they're doing. It's not like heterosexual people have to have sex. It's not like we don't have such a thing as celibacy and waiting until you get married. I mean, heterosexual people don't say that they have to go out and have sex all the time and have sex every day. It's you can actually say no. You can actually have some self-control. Apparently, homosexuals aren't capable of having self-control. They just have to do what they do, and we can't point out that it's harmful. I mean, think of the risks. I mean, of cancer from things like eating burnt toast. I mean, we have people worrying that they could catch cancer from burning the toast and things like that. And we have articles about that, and that gets promoted, and all the care that people spend to eat the right fats and not to have margarine and not to have soy. And all this care that we spend in our diets, and yet we've got a whole lifestyle here that can give people fatal diseases that we are promoting this to young children. The fact that 83% of new male syphilis cases are found in the tiny segment of the population, probably less than 4% of all males, who are men who have sex with men should be setting off major alarm bells. Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies for the Family Research Council, told LifeSite News. High rates of STDs among men who have sex with men are not a surprise, given the fact that many of them have large numbers of sex partners and engage in the particularly dangerous act of anal intercourse, Sprigg said. And don't forget, they're now teaching the mechanics of anal intercourse to school children in Britain. The homosexual lobby have forced the education department to make this a part of sex education and to teach anal intercourse as being the equivalent of normal intercourse that can produce children. I mean, actual gay marriage is basically sodomy. The act of marriage, to consummate a marriage, means to have sex between a husband and bride. And now that they've changed the meaning of marriage to say that homosexuals can do this, they're effectively saying that sodomy is the same as marriage. And of course, if you can say that sodomy is the same as anal intercourse, then they must be teaching anal intercourse at schools. You can see that the male genitals and the female genitals are created to fit together. You don't naturally think of two men fitting together. And that part of the body is used for defecation. It's the waste pipe. It's the sewer pipe. You don't want to put the most, a man could want to put the most precious part of his body into a sewer pipe. I don't know. I mean, that says to me that these people have serious mental problems. They have serious delusions. This is a mental sickness that they have most of the time that's caused by molestation and problems with the father figure. Unfortunately, the mainstream media appears to be ignoring this finding because they cannot figure out a way to spin it without reflecting negatively on homosexual conduct itself, Sprigg commented. Sprigg noted the sudden jump in syphilis rates in the last few years, however, demands an explanation. Mark Joseph Stern of Slate may have offered one, with the theory that the effectiveness and increased use of PrEP medications for HIV may be having the unintended consequence of reducing condom use in this population, thus increasing their vulnerability to other STDs such as syphilis. Now that makes a lot of sense. And don't forget, this chap earlier was saying, well, because I use PrEP, I'm quite safe to donate blood. Well, if you use PrEP, you're not safe to donate blood because you can still catch syphilis. PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis, refers to the use before sex of antibiotics and other medications that make the transmission of HIV less likely. Sprigg concluded, the latest data only reinforces what pro-family groups have been saying for decades. The only safe sex is sex that is safe for a monogamous, sexually exclusive, lifelong marriage. And that's the only sex that is fulfilling. The fact that all these homosexuals have so many different partners is proof that homosexual sex is not fulfilling. They are not contented with it. This is why they have to go on to have all these deviant forms of it and sadomasochism. And the fact that they keep going through all these different partners shows you that they're continually looking for something that they're never going to be able to find. And yet, heterosexual sex has a long tradition of monogamy, of being contented, of being satisfied with what you have. People are being taught here to go after a lifestyle that is never going to satisfy them, that is going to cause them to die young on average, and also give them a much higher risk of catching these horrific diseases. And they're not teaching them about these horrific diseases in schools. They can't be, if they're saying that anal sex is the same as normal sex. The government explains the high rate of STDs among homosexuals by attributing it to individual risk factors. So they're saying it's not a group thing, it's not a group activity, it's just the individuals that cause this, including higher numbers of lifetime sex partners and higher prevalence of STDs. They're nothing to do with risky behavior like bug chasing then, which is when they deliberately go out and have sex with people with AIDS. The government report additionally attributes high STD rates among homosexuals to, wait for it, homophobia and stigma. So it's not that they're having risky sex, it's not that they're putting their parts into places where they shouldn't be, that are filled with waste and germs and bacteria. Anyway, it's due to people being mean to them. It's people being mean to homosexuals. That's what's given them STDs, according to the government report. How tragic and ironic that politically correct politicians and cultural elites are aggressively promoting the LGBT agenda when it is the very living out of these immoral lifestyles that is linked to disease, LaBarbera concluded. Far more than dire that, I would suggest, than suicide, as we're told all these poor homosexuals say that they'll be committing suicide if people point out the problems associated with their lifestyle. And that's not the only problem. Syphilis and AIDS. There is now an epidemic of anal cancer sweeping across America. And while it might not be politically correct to say so, one group in particular seems to be getting it the most. Homosexual men. According to reports, men with HIV who have sex with other men are 100 times more likely to develop anal cancer than HIV negative men who exclusively have sex with women. So queers are 100 times more likely to develop anal cancer than straight people. This suggests that anal cancer is a disease that almost exclusively affects non-straight males who are on the verge of or already have AIDS, a fact that again is likely to ruffle some feathers. So don't forget, we also heard about how these people with AIDS, 10% of them don't actually have it. They're also far more likely to get syphilis. Now they're also far more likely to have anal cancer. And they might not know they have any of this when they're donating blood. The LGBT community would certainly become triggered were the media to start addressing it in terms of being a gay men's disease. So serious is this growing epidemic that a recent study published in the journal Cancer aims to come up with better solutions for prevention that will help HIV-positive gay and bisexual men avoid developing anal cancer. The study's conclusion, of course, suggests better anal pre-cancer management and post-treatment HPV vaccination as the best solution. Of course, they're not going to tell them not to have anal sex. Can't possibly say that. Anal sex is the new idol, it seems, for the world. It must be promoted everywhere to every country. You can't possibly have anything negative said about it. Back in the 1980s, AIDS was by far the biggest concern within the gay community. Many in the general public expressed worry about contracting the disease from tainted blood and other infected fluids. But now anal cancer is being declared as the most pressing problem among homosexual men, the Los Angeles Times reportedly calling it the next big crisis for the gay community. And people have a right to be worried about contracting the disease from tainted blood, because these homosexuals are deliberately putting people that need blood at risk by donating. The American Cancer Society, the ACS, has also declared that it expects to see 8,200 new cases of anal cancer just in 2017 alone. More than half of those who end up developing the disease will be diagnosed at stage 3 or later, which means they will most likely end up dying from it. So they're not even going to the doctor with these problems until the cancer is fully gone. Because of this, the ACS has stated that the scenario represents a major public health concern that as of yet does not have a definitive solution. How about teaching people not to have gay sex? Homosexuals are not the only people developing anal cancer. However, a study conducted in Hawaii found that anybody who has anal sex period, which includes straight couples, is more likely to develop anal cancer than others who do not have anal sex. Now, I'd be a little bit worried about a bloke that had a liking for anal sex, even if they did have women. mean, why on earth would anybody want to do that? I mean, it's gross. It's a form of domination in the animal world. You look at dogs, it's a form of domination. If you look at Afghanistan, it's where they do it to little boys. It's a form of domination. For a man to be wanting to do that to a woman, it's not loving, is it? There's a desire to hurt the woman there. In a lame attempt at being politically correct, news outlets were quick to suggest that there are other non-sexual ways of contracting the disease as well. I wonder what they are. Again, trying to deflect from anal sex being the primary cause. But this appears to be little more than a completely made-up excuse that tries to cover for homosexuals and lay as little blame on their sexual behaviour as possible. The truth is that anal sex is a high-risk activity that increases one's likelihood of developing both human papilloma virus infection and anal cancer. In fact, it is high risk for many other types of cancer as well, considering that human papillomavirus infection has been shown to lead to cancers of the cervix, vagina, vulva, penis, oral cavity, and rectum. You are really taking your life in your hands if you're going to indulge in this sort of activity, and the government just promotes it, it thinks the world really needs this, thinks that children should be told that engaging in this sort of activity is good, and it's the equivalent of heterosexual activity. And it is absolute madness, and it's no wonder they have to come out with this spurious idea of homophobia to try and silence people from speaking about it, because any normal person that finds this information out is going to want to speak about it because they care about the people around them, and they don't want people to end up with HIV, AIDS, syphilis, and all the rest of it, particularly innocent people that are just in hospital that are needing blood. Sorry for such a grotty subject today, but I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager. Thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at radioaryan.com.